It's a nice day as well. So well done for coming out on a nice day. CC Kids starts off every single week, apparently, I've been told, with news rounds. What's been going on in the week or, you know, recently? So I thought we'd do the same today. Is that all right? Not with you guys. I'm sorry. I'll host this bit. So I'm just the anchor at the moment. But apparently there's been some fantastic stuff happening around the UK over these last few weeks. So we're just going to go around the UK a little bit. We may dip into France as well in a second just to see what's happening. So on Friday in Hackney in East London, hundreds of young people from three local churches stayed up all night to pray and to seek God. On the Saturday in Trafalgar Square, thousands gathered to hear the gospel. Many were healed and saved. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? On the Sunday in St Aldate's in Oxford, where George Whitfield gave his life to Christ, interestingly enough, they couldn't handle it. It was overflowing. So many young people gave their lives to Christ, they lost count. Many of these were in the 13 to 30 age group. We were just praying for the youth and for the younger generation. But 13 to 30 was where most people were responding, which was very interesting to see. Okay, and I did say that, over 400 baptisms were recently recorded in another church in the UK. The Spectator magazine's headline this month is, "A Christian Revival is Underway in the UK." So, it's pretty cool, isn't it? Over Easter, 12,000 were baptized in France, which is one of the most secular nations on the planet. And over 400 gave their lives to Christ in Manchester, an audacious church, if you know anything about that. So that was an Easter treat for them. All right, so there's a bit of news. It's not bad, is it? God is on the move. Things are happening. We're going to see some really amazing things happen. It's an exciting time at the moment. Things are certainly changing, and that's really good. And it's good for me to say happy birthday to the global church. Should have got a cake. But there we go. Today is Pentecost, for those that don't know, hadn't heard it already, and that was the start of the church. It was the birth of the church at the time. Okay, but I'm going to start my story with my grandma's carpet cleaner, if that's all right. Why are you saying that? You're looking at me horrible. Now, this is a picture of something similar that she had. I couldn't get the exact one because, we won't go into that. But I never really tried to help her with her carpet cleaning experience too many times, but it has no power. This is carpet cleaners before you plugged them in. Did anyone have one of these? Just out of interest. You still do? Right. Okay. They're exhausting. They don't even pick anything up. I'm sorry. I'm not getting into this argument. You may think they do, but I couldn't make it do much. So she'd be like, you know, working away at it. And I'd be like, well, what a waste of time. Anyway, just leave the floor as it is. You may as well. It looks the same afterwards. But we've got a rechargeable Dyson. And when it's fully charged up, it sucks up absolutely everything. It's amazing. Literally, you turn the thing on, and before you know it, you think, I didn't know my house was that dirty. It's very, very, very effective. If I try to clean the house when the battery's gone flat, it's useless. Worthwhile note there. So it won't pick anything up in that. It's as useful as my grandma's cleaner if I don't charge it there. So there's a message in this, if you're thinking on this. We're going to read Acts chapter 2. And we'll go into the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Okay, Now, before we even get anywhere further into this, the background of the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity, right? So you've heard of the Trinity, well, maybe you haven't, but the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, so he's not an it. A lot of people refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. He's a he. He's the third person, and so we refer to the Holy Spirit as a person rather than an it. He's not a magical force. He's very much a person. He's also known in the Bible as a comforter, as the encourager, as the helper, as an empowerer. So he's someone who comes into our lives and does a huge amount alongside of us and within us. And it's important that we spend some time thinking about this. But before we actually get to the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out. So you have a situation that people were trying to do life as best as they could by themselves. He had always existed, but he wasn't in operation that much on the earth. And then he's poured out on the disciples. He's poured out on every single one of them meeting in that room. And not just a bit, but to a point of overflowing. Because it impacted everyone who noticed. As the power filled the disciples, the church was born. Amen? That was the impact it had. As the Holy Spirit comes, new life is born. And that is really important. The Holy Spirit brings life. I've discovered in my own life, the more I am filled with the Holy Spirit, the more I've allowed myself to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the more I have life, the more I have energy, the more I enjoy life, the more I can love, the less the trials of life overwhelm me because I've got some power in me to deal with it. The more I desire to pray, the more I can live boldly, not baldly. There's a very big difference between the two. But when I neglect being filled with the Spirit, when I neglect that, then the exact opposite is very true. And it's interesting. It's very, very interesting. So let's just explore the Holy Spirit today, and let's just explore his purpose as well. Some of the other names, which there's a whole host of them, but you can explore this yourself for your homework, all right? And I will be checking next week. Spirit of life is in Romans. Spirit of holiness, also in Romans. Spirit of grace. There's a whole load of things that the Holy Spirit does. These are the names given to it and enable us to understand him as a person. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." This is what's living inside of us. This is the Spirit of God who's living inside of us and creating these attributes, this power, this love. And so therefore, the day of Pentecost is really important for us. So there are several implications of the Holy Spirit entering our lives. There's a massive difference that he makes when he comes into our lives. And I was going to reflect on three things in particular. Relationship with God, it will change our relationship with God completely. It will change I always call it a walk with God, but your lifestyle, we'll call it a lifestyle. It'll change our lifestyle. And it will also change the way that we interact and be able to declare the gospel to others. It's absolutely crucial in all three of those particular areas there. It's very easy, I don't know if you're like me, but it's very easy for our relationship with God to become like a dead religion. Do you know what I mean by that? Yeah. Where you know the jobs and the things that you're supposed to do. I'm supposed to pray. I'm supposed to read the Bible. I'm about to do those things. But it's having zero impact on your day. Do you know what I mean by that? Yeah. Good. Thank you. So, but it's dead. There's no joy in a forced relationship with God. Neither does he want that. All right. But if we're trying to force yourself, I've done this before. Where I've actually had somebody here trying to eat a chocolate cake. Force them to eat a chocolate cake. Well, not even force them. You got to force them to do it. But that was the task. And they hated it. Because anything you're forced to do, it doesn't matter how enjoyable it is. Anything you are forced to do, you don't want to do anymore, do you? Do you know what I mean? You know, we'll do the cake thing later if you don't believe me. All right? But it becomes dead. It becomes dead when it's a forced thing. God desires our hearts. God desires a relationship which is not forced external behaviors, but one which is a loving, genuine, intimate relationship with us. And that is his desire. That's what he wants. And we can see that the most obvious through the gospel. The fact that he sent Jesus to die on a cross, that's how passionate he was to have relationship with us. That Jesus died that we could be forgiven. Jesus died on a cross that we could have life, that we could come close to him and we could connect with him. And that's exciting. That's very, very exciting. He still doesn't actually always make you excited on the inside, maybe, but when the Spirit of God brings life into it, then things change. Because relationship with God is the most important thing we can have. It's where we experience God himself. It's where we experience God himself. That's the difference between relationship and religion. You're getting an experience of the creator of the universe. You can enjoy him. You can have the Holy Spirit poured into us in order to foster that relationship. Because, well, it's already has been said, people have found it sometimes a little bit difficult to do the things that we're supposed to do. Romans 8, verse 26, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We're no good at doing those things. But we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. It's the Holy Spirit's power inside of us that fosters that relationship. Yeah? It's the Holy Spirit inside of us that causes us to desire to pray, to have the power to pray. If you're finding that you don't have the words to pray, you don't have the passion to pray, guess where that's coming from? It's the Holy Spirit. It's time to literally plug in again, to allow the Holy Spirit to fill you up again. It's going from my grandma's cleaner to a Dyson, all right? It's doable, and that's what God wants. He wants you all to have Dysons. Other vacuum cleaners are available. It's not just that one I'm plugging today. But yeah, that's the reality. So we're built for relationship with God. And it's when the Holy Spirit is flowing through us that that relationship comes alive. Make sense? Yeah. It's when it gets exciting. It's when things become real to us. Because when our relationship with God gets real to us, then we realize what we're fully, truly born for. It's when the purpose of our life becomes alive. So that's good. The second thing, transformation. The Holy Spirit transforms us on the inside out. Okay? Again, this isn't forced external things that we're having to do. As we've already said, one of the names of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Holiness. So it is the Holy Spirit that leads us on a journey to become increasingly like Jesus. Every single day, he prompts. Every single day, he nudges. Every single day, he's working on us on the inside out to become more and more and more like Jesus. And this is a really good thing. This is, honestly, don't look suspiciously at me. It's a very good thing. Romans 8, verse 18, yes. If through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. The Spirit of God, it's him doing it inside of us that's making all the changes. Yeah? If you feel that God's asking you, or if you're going, you know, I really shouldn't be doing this, or I should be doing that, then forcing yourself to do it, as we keep going back to, trying really hard to do it, isn't really that effective. It's the Holy Spirit's power inside of us that makes the changes, that does the transforming. We may sometimes find ourselves in habits that God desires us to free us from. Whether they're just dark thoughts or whether it's just acting in ungodly ways, the Spirit of God has the power to break us free from these things. It's in these times when God puts his finger in an area of our life that, and when he does it with me, I've simply prayed the prayer, God, I cannot do this. This is an important thing. Don't get one thing. Now you think, oh, I can do that, it'll be all right. God, I can't do this, but I trust your Holy Spirit in me to do it. That's where God moves the most, when we're trusting his Holy Spirit in us to make the changes. Amen? God never fails in leading us step by step to become more like Jesus. So it's being continually open to how he seeks to bring transformation.
being led by every single nudge, every single prompt, being sensitive and aware of every single prompt. Galatians 5:18 puts it like this. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Throughout every day of our life, the Holy Spirit will give a nudge, will give a kind of prompt, if you like, to do something or to not do something. It may just come in a very simple, clear thought. This is what I'd like you to start doing. This is what you really should be stopping doing. It will not come as a condemnation. It will not come heavy. It will come in a way that brings lightness to you, and you'll think, yes. Something inside of you will say, that's what I need to be doing. I need to be moving in that direction now, or I need to be moving away from this. I'm going to tell a story here, if you're all right. This is a really, like, useless one in one respect, but it'll... I was in the supermarket. I go past supermarkets. I've gone to supermarkets a lot. I walked into the supermarket and I walked past the flower. The flowers are always at the start, aren't they? Have you noticed that? The flowers are always there. I always walk straight past them. Don't even think about it. Straight past them. I'm here to get whatever I'm here to get. And this one time, this thought pops into my head: buy some flowers for Angie. Now that's something which I'm not feeling like, oh, I really should do that. Yeah, because I generally don't, which is bad, isn't it? But she's not here to hear that. But like, it was like, just buy her some flowers. I didn't feel guilty. I didn't feel condemned. It was like, yeah, that's a loving thing to do. And I knew it was the right thing to do at that time. It's just a nudge. This is what God does. Just tiny nudges, just tiny prompts, bit by bit. It could be a yes, it could be a no to do things. I used to tell stories, I think I'm nearly through this now, but this was a long one. I used to be in the middle of telling a story. Certainly this happened when I was a maths teacher, and I would be telling this, what I thought was a really funny story. And I'd get halfway through it, and I'd hear this voice going, don't say any more on this story. Now, I've got like about 15 people staring at me going... I knew it was God. But then there's this internal battle going on, going, but I'm going to look stupid. Because, like, you know, there's nothing wrong with this story. It's a fun story. They'll all laugh. They'll all think I'm great. So they're all looking at me. And so sometimes I get it right. Sometimes I would go, right, I won't tell you that, and look stupid. And other times I would... finish the story, and then think there was nothing wrong with that. They'd all be laughing, everyone would be happy. And then I think, oh, I've just made somebody look really bad. And that's why the Holy Spirit was nudging me at that time. There are times when God will speak in certain ways. He'll say yes, he'll say no. This week alone, I just started getting into watching YouTube clips of arguments. I don't know why, where people take... Have you noticed people like to argue now? They're really good arguments. And so it started off with me trying to learn certain history things or political things, but people don't listen to each other anymore. Have you noticed? They just shout. There's a lot of shouting going on. Anyway, I was just watching some of these clips, and then you just like, YouTube's got a little thing in it where it just goes, oh, you like watching this, do you? Here's another one to watch. So I'm like, oh, right, okay, click on that. And after a while, I'm like, you know, you think you get some knowledge, you're increasing your knowledge on things, it's all good. But I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. And then I was just eating my lunch. I remember I was eating my lunch, and I felt the Holy Spirit saying, it's no good for you. What you're watching is no good for you. It's not helping. You know, all things are beneficial, but not all things are edifying. And we have to guard our hearts on what we allow in. You know, there was nothing I felt that sinful about it. But it was one of those things where God was saying, that there is actually affecting your soul. And it's interesting, just by stopping doing it. And it was quite easy to stop, actually. You just don't click on the YouTube button. So it was quite easy. But just by stopping it, all of a sudden, the desire to pray, the desire to read the Bible, all of that just came back to the surface, which was quite interesting. It was a distraction. That's what it was. It was a very, very tasty distraction, but that was all it was. And God moved, and it was an interesting experience. There's massive rewards for living a spirit-empowered life. Galatians 5, verse 22 says this: the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. I mean, there's a win there, isn't there? Straight away, if you want something like that in your life, or more of something like that in your life, then it's about filled with the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. Just listen to his promptings. So let's get practical. I keep saying get filled with the Spirit, but what does that really mean? How are we actually filled? Should we get into the nitty-gritty of it? Yeah. You sure? Thank you. All right, the first thing, and it comes down to this, recognize our need for him. All right? So the very first part of being filled with the Spirit, you can't be, if you don't think you need the Holy Spirit, then you won't even ask to be filled. Yeah, you'll get away with, you know, what we can do. There was, when I was a student, a long time ago now, for the first 2 years, me and my mates just did this bare minimum effort kind of thing. Have you ever heard of that phrase? Bare minimum effort is basically you do just enough to pass. I think the pass mark was 40%. So if you got 42, you felt like, well, that's pretty good. Because, like, I didn't want to spend ages on these assignments. Just enough. I just passed. That's good there. And it's a bad attitude, by the way, if anyone's wondering. But, it was one of those things of, like, you know, we spent a little bit of time on it. It was enough to get the pass. And I'm passing on to the next year. Everything's good. I just doing, a little bit each time. And it's how you can live your life. You live your life with bare minimum effort in that respect. I'll do a little bit, just enough to slide by, just enough to get by. But it's very interesting, the bare minimum effort, because what would happen if we asked for more than just enough? What would happen if we asked for more than just enough of the Holy Spirit to get by? What would your life look like if it was more than just a little bit? You know, I feel a bit rubbish today, so can you fill me up? I feel a little bit, whatever it is. What would it look like if you asked for an overflowing of the Holy Spirit? Because it would change things dramatically. Everything would be very, very different if we started to ask for more than, just enough to get by. And I think that that's something which has been something that I've noticed massively in my life, I feel a bit rubbishy today, so God would, I need your Spirit, and I'll spend like a few minutes with him, and then you're off, and you can do the day. Matthew 5, verse 3 says, blessed are those that know they need God. It's the start of Jesus' teachings in the Bible. It basically is the start of Christianity. We need God. And the more we recognize our need for God, the more you will pray for that. The more it's a heart attitude. You can't just go, oh, yeah, I know I need God. It doesn't work like that. It becomes a heart thing. It becomes where sometimes you just have to meditate on those scriptures and go, right, I need God. I need him. I was just going to go through him. Apart from you, I can do nothing. I need your Spirit today. And the more you can humble your heart, the more we can bring our own hearts to a place of humility that we need God, the more you will sense his presence. Okay? And this is really important. That's why humility is such an important part of Christian living, is that we have to live in such a way that we're not proud and we can, you won't pray if you're proud. You'll just go, well, I can do it myself. Not from the heart. The second point is in Ephesians 5, verse 18. Ephesians 5, sorry, it's a different color here. Ephesians 5 something. Anyway, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the tense, sorry about this, we're going to get a bit Greek for a minute. The tense is a passive present tense. All right? So it could be read, or it should be read, more like, allow God, passive, allow God to continually make you full of the Holy Spirit. Which feels a bit different. Allow him. God, he's actively, proactively seeking to pour his Holy Spirit into our lives right now. Right now and always. He's always seeking to pour his Spirit into your life. And our job is to allow him. That's it. Our job, we don't have to do anything. Our job is to say, yes, God, I allow you to pour your spirit in. Right? And you can do that anytime. Do that on the train. Do that on the bus. I mean, don't get too excited, but don't do it driving. But you get the point. Yeah, I allow you to pour your Holy Spirit in. Straight, and you can do this anywhere you are. You can do this at any time of the day. And I encourage you, please, the more you do it, the more you're plugging in your Dyson and charging it up. All right? It makes such a difference to your life. We talk about your relationship with God. We talk about the lifestyle and being transformed. The more the Holy Spirit's on the inside, the more we are in that place. Allow God in. He's always trying to get in, which is exciting. That's what he is. That's our God. Always trying to knock. He's always knocking on the door, always saying, what about now? You know, can I flood you with my Holy Spirit right now? Can I change your life right now a bit more and strengthen you and energize you and give you fresh life? And I think those are all good things. All we need to do is recognize our need for him and say yes to him. So there you are. If you've fallen asleep and now you're coming back into the room right now, there's your summary slide, unless Emmanuel's fallen asleep. That's it. That's what you need. You don't need any more. All right? That's the filled bit, okay? I need him, and I allow you. I just say yes. I'm saying yes to you, God, because saying yes to you is the really, really, really the only thing we need to be doing. And that's what I do try and make it my practice to be filled by the Holy Spirit every single day, because I know when I'm not, and this is not a great reason, but I know when I'm not, I do get more tired, I do get less motivated, hugely, you know, and my early indicator, I have early indicators on how to tell how full of the Holy Spirit I am, and my early indicator is how patient I am with irritating people. Do you know what I mean? Those people that really wind you up. Now, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, they don't wind you up. That you're all right, you can deal with them, and their inane comments, it's fine. But, you know, after a while, it's just... So, be aware that that's a sign that you might need to be filled. It's a sign. God's got his way of saying to you, you need me, and it's time to have a recharge. It's time to have a refresh. The quicker I lose my rag, the more I need to receive, honestly. And it is the way it is. And so I do. I encourage you, every single one of you, because it's not just for us. It impacts the world. Yeah? The more full we are of the Holy Spirit, the more we impact the world around us. And that's crucial. John 7, verse 38 says, anyone who believes in me may come to me and drink, for the scripture declares, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Rivers. God's not into a charge you up just for you and then off you go. There's actually a river flowing through that he wants us to live in continuously, so it doesn't just stay with us, but it goes out into the world. As most of you are aware, the vision of the church is to intentionally build and transform our communities. Amen? And this is the way it does. By the power of the Holy Spirit, it's the only way. Okay, it can't happen in any other way. So the church was born, and it wasn't born until Pentecost. Think about that for a minute. It wasn't born until the Holy Spirit came. So what can we expect to achieve without him? Absolutely nothing. Nothing of eternal life, nothing of eternity is certainly going to be changing without him. That's how essential the Holy Spirit is in every aspect. We need his empowering on a daily basis. So let's take the Spirit of life. Let's take the Holy Spirit himself into our communities, into our surroundings, into our workplaces, into our neighborhoods, everywhere, into our homes, and let him fill those areas with his Spirit, yeah? With his presence. Because as the Holy Spirit works through us, we'll see genuine transformation in those areas. Amen? Okay, so this leaves us very much back to the start of the message, that God desires to have close relationship with every single one of us. And this is a relationship that holds his promise of complete peace, of joy, of grace, of hope, a promise full of his Holy Spirit. Jesus loves us completely. We've already said he died for us on a cross to show us just how much he loved us, to bring forgiveness, to bring life, to bring eternal life, to give us peace with God, and so that our sins could be wiped clean. And he was raised to life to make us right with God. Wonderful, wonderful. It's by placing our faith in Jesus that we're made right with God. And so today, we offer an opportunity to make an extremely important decision. If you can bow your heads, that would be marvelous. There's three categories that I'm going to read out, and you may find yourself in one of these following three. Number one, you don't know Jesus today as your Lord and Savior, that you've never had a relationship with him, and today you would like to make the decision to follow him, to receive his forgiveness, and to begin a relationship with him. The second category is that you used to walk with Jesus, but of late other things have got in the way, and you would like to reconnect with him today. And thirdly, you're not sure of your salvation. You're not sure that at the end of your life, you'll be going to heaven, and you desire the certainty that Jesus offers. Now, if you relate to any of those three, then please pray along with me now and repeat these words out of your own heart. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I ask you to forgive me for all my wrongdoing and receive me as your child. I commit my life to you now. Amen.